We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Whether you're for abortion or against abortion, these are two very well thought out. I mean, if you're going to present a case in front of the Supreme Court, I can't imagine it gets more thought out on the case for Roe versus Wade or against it or maybe a modification of it. So go back and listen to it, because a respectful debate in front of the Supreme Court, it's about as American as it gets. So we hear Jen Psaki there talking about codifying the constitutional rights to safe and legal abortion. I'm not 100% sure where those constitutional rights are, but that's why we get the experts, the very best of the best, on the Annie Frye Show to weigh in on this. And we have Andy McCarthy now, as a contributing editor at National Review and a Fox News contributor, has been speaking and reacting to this in real time and in the last 24 hours. Andy, a pleasure to have you back on the Annie Frye Show. Thank you so much for the time today.
Annie, it's my pleasure.
So let me just generally ask you about that. Jen Psaki is saying the Biden administration supports the codifying of the constitutional right for a woman to have a safe and legal abortion. Does that exist? Is it a constitutional right?
Well, if it were a constitutional right, they wouldn't have to codify it, right? I mean, it would be guaranteed by the, you know, we have, for example, freedom of speech. Whether Congress passes a law or not, we have it, right, because it's in the Constitution. And the other thing is, the reason they don't codify it is there's no constitutional basis for it. And what's Congress's power to regulate? And this is a classic area of state law control. And they know that it would be legally problematic, because if you think about it, in 2008, 2009, when Obama was elected, they had commanding control of both houses of Congress and the presidency. And they didn't try to enact anything to codify Roe when they could easily have done that. They'd had the votes to do it. The reason they didn't do it is because having the votes is one thing. Whether it's lawful is, you know, quite something else.
Of course, we're speaking with Fox News contributor and National Review contributing editor Andy McCarthy. I think it's important to be very specific about what this Supreme Court hearing on this case coming out of the state of Mississippi actually can do and cannot do. A lot of political noise out there suggests that this could end Roe v. Wade and end abortion in the United States of America. Is that actually what's being discussed here?
Well, the court has a lot of discretion over how broad or narrow they could go with this. The question that they accepted for review, and they're not, you know, just to be clear for people, they are not bound, the court, by the narrowness of the question that they accept for review. Once they take a case for review and they hear the arguments on it and they start to pour through the law, they can, you know, do whatever they think is appropriate. But the question they granted was much narrower than what Mississippi wanted. The question basically is the regulation of abortions before viability constitutional? And what they're dealing with specifically is this 15-week limitation. You know, so after 15 weeks, basically, abortions are illegal. They're doing that only in the context of, you know, narrowly considering this one issue of viability. So they they were asked to weigh in on the Casey standard, which is what is an undue burden, because there's a later case that throws that into confusion. They were asked to weigh in on third party standing, you know, things like whether abortion providers can sue on the basis of the right of a woman or the purported right of a woman to get an abortion. And the court said no to all those things, which suggests that they're not interested, or at least at the stage of accepting the case, they weren't interested in a wholesale examination of Roe, but that doesn't stop them from doing one.
We're speaking with Andy McCarthy, Fox News contributor here. I want to play for you Justice Sotomayor's question or comment that she made here yesterday. And it involved questioning the relationship on the issue of abortion and the necessity or lack thereof of abortion and religion.
How is your interest anything but a religious view? The issue of when life begins has been hotly debated by philosophers since the beginning of time. It's still debated in religions. So when you say this is the only right that takes away from the state the ability to protect a life, that's a religious view, isn't it? Because it assumes that a fetus is life at when? You're not drawing your... When do you suggest we begin that life?
Andy, it struck me as odd, and I think that's because, especially with in the wake of the Kyle Rittenhouse case where we got to watch a standard trial take place, the Supreme Court is such a different entity, and the process is so very different than what we were seeing in like that criminal case, specifically there in Wisconsin. When we see Sotomayor having that conversation, like, I completely disagree that this has to be a religious issue because I don't believe that morality has to come from religion while it can come from religion. What is the structure? How does this work when you see all these different justices asking these questions, but really kind of leading with an opinion that they personally have, such as religion being the basis of when life begins?
Well, Annie, the first thing you have to bear in mind is that a trial court and appellate tribunal are very different. So the Supreme Court is an appellate court. They are not developing a factual record. Evidently, they're developing a philosophical record. Who knew? But, you know, they're not supposed to be developing an evidentiary record that you apply the law to. That happens in the lower courts. What the Supreme Court and other appellate courts decide are legal issues, and it's a different process. So you have multiple judges. The Supreme Court's 9. Most federal appellate courts are 3-judge panels, although sometimes in extraordinary cases they'll have the whole court hear the case. That's usually 12 or 13 judges. But they're not constrained in what they can ask. I mean, it's basically it's as if the judge was sitting around in her chambers with her 3 clerks and they were brainstorming. I mean, she can ask whatever she thinks is relevant, because interestingly, while we think of a Supreme Court justice as like the most powerful judge in the country, the fact of the matter is they could be the weakest judge in the country, because unless you're 5, you can't do anything. So anything that she wants to come up with that she thinks might influence another 4 of the justices to get to the ruling that she would like to get to. And by the way, I think she's doing the kind of stuff she did yesterday. She's more apt to drive people away than draw them to her position, because she was an interesting performer yesterday, that's for sure. But I just think that it's not very smart. The judges who are most effective on the Supreme Court are the consensus builders, who can try to narrow disputes and have a sort of a charm that enables them to cajole people over to their side. And there's horse trading that goes on, and there's good faith, overboard, intellectual back and forth that goes on. And one thing I often caution people, and I think this is probably something good to keep in the front of our minds rather than the back. Very often when we finally see a ruling, and this ruling will come out at the end of the term, to be sure. So we're talking about the end of June. By the time we see the ruling, it doesn't really reflect always what came up at the oral argument. And it doesn't always reflect what you thought were the coalitions of aligned justices that you thought you saw at the oral argument, because a lot is going to happen. I mean, they'll take a vote on this case preliminarily this week, and that's for the purpose of assigning the opinion out. If the Chief Justice is in the majority, the Chief Justice gets to assign the opinion and can assign it to himself. Otherwise, the senior justice in the majority would assign the opinion. So that's an interesting aspect of this in itself, right? Because if Roberts, for example, wants to go narrow, even if he's not comfortable, he might vote with the majority so he can write the opinion, because otherwise Thomas could write the opinion, you know, or decide who writes the opinion. So there's a lot of that stuff that goes on. And I just caution people that whatever opinions you've formed about where this is coming out based on what you heard yesterday, it may be a very different world 6 months from now.
Listening to the questioning, we kind of heard your thoughts on Justice Sotomayor's performance yesterday. Do you think that anybody really stood out that made an impact or just really nailed whatever it is that they were setting out to do as far as the justices go?
Yeah, I do. I thought that, first of all, the Chief Justice is a very interesting character in this because he's really the swing center of the court. So all eyes are on him in terms of where he's going. And I thought he obliterated the reasoning of Roe as it was reinterpreted by Casey, actually overhauled by Casey in 1992. He basically showed that this whole concept of viability that we're told is so basic to Roe was actually an afterthought in Roe. It wasn't in the questions presented. It wasn't in the argument. It was dicta in the opinion. And it didn't become important until Casey realized that Roe was such a travesty that it had to basically overhaul the whole infrastructure of Roe and needed to hang its hat on something in order to keep Roe viable. And oddly enough, they went with viability. So he basically blew up the reasoning of Roe, but at the same time, he's almost bipolar because on the one hand, he shows that legally this thing is a travesty. But on the other hand, he seems to be groping for a narrow decision that wouldn't necessarily throw Roe overboard. So I thought that was very interesting. I thought Kavanaugh was extraordinarily interesting in terms of getting this exactly right, in that the Constitution doesn't speak to abortion one way or the other. It doesn't say that it's prohibited, and it doesn't say that it's mandatory that it be available. And what Kavanaugh's position was, if the Constitution is neutral on something, then the Supreme Court ought to be rigorously neutral and shouldn't come out on one side or the other, and that to the extent that there are different interests, like the life of the mother and the life of the unborn child, that have to be accommodated, the way we do that in this society is to do it by democratic means. And if that means that the answer is different in New York than it is in Alabama, then that's what it means.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to what comes out in June. Last question for you. We're speaking with Andy McCarthy right now. The potential, does it exist for there to be a seismic ruling that we hear in June regarding how we look at abortion rights in this country?
There absolutely is a chance that Roe and Casey, the regime that we have been under since 1973, could be no more. A half a century of terrible law could be thrown out. But what I would caution people on that is the left, and I'm a conservative here, so take this for what it's worth, but the left will do everything it can in the next 6 months to tell you that that's seismic and that it's radical and that it's revolutionary. But all it means is that abortion and the regulation of it gets returned to the states. They will continue to call it a ban on abortion. They'll keep saying if the Supreme Court bans abortion, and the truth of the matter will be exactly what Kavanaugh said, which is the Constitution doesn't say one thing or the other about abortion. and it should be regulated by the states. And if that happens, the blue states will have one kind of regulation, the red states will have another, the purple states will have something in the middle. And they, I would bet you that in the richest, most mobile, most progressive country in the world in terms of healthcare, in the history of the world, there won't be a woman in America who wants an abortion who won't be able to go someplace to get it.
Yeah, and you know, we know this so well here in St. Louis because, you know, I'm sitting in Missouri right now. I live across the river in Illinois, which is really the most, in my opinion, progressively pro-abortive state in the union. It's really, in my opinion, horrendous what Illinois is doing, and Missouri has done everything they can to eliminate it here. So perfect example right here in St. Louis, where you can go across the river and you can get an abortion at any given time. You can't do it in Missouri, and that's where it would be if Roe were to be eliminated.
Yeah, in Illinois, as I understand it, they require you to get an abortion, don't they? Isn't that what the law
is? I mean, it really is. We have just recently eliminated parental notification for minors to get a taxpayer-funded abortion. I don't even know how that's possible, but that's where we are in the state of Illinois. It's reprehensible. Andy McCarthy, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. We look forward to having you back as this continues to develop. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much.
Of course.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.